The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Betty.
Doctors are always telling us that we're dehydrated little beings and we need to drink more water. And it's tough. I mean, women are trying because they have those Stanley cups that are like a tank.
I love all the videos of guys making fun of those with like trash cans they formed into a giant Stanley cup.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you guys are supposed to drink water. I guess we all are. But like, for whatever reason, women are supposed to drink a lot more.
No, that's not the case. I'm pretty sure... For every ounce, it's half your body weight. So whatever you weigh, half that out, and that's how many ounces you're supposed to drink.
No, that's impossible. That's like literally impossible.
I remember one time I went on a compassion trip with Wally, and he was, I mean, it was hot.
Yeah, it was bad.
Sweating like a pig.
Yeah.
You were wet from head to toe.
It's very humid.
And no water whatsoever. None. And you are laying on a bench. All these compassion kids are like, is this white man okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, he didn't drink any water.
Yeah, he's fine. He'll be okay. Oh, just give him a second.
But anyways, what do you do if you don't think God's perfect solution, water?
I don't like the taste of it.
So you're telling God that he didn't have a perfect solution. You're
For some people, it was good.
You're telling him water is not good enough and you need something better. Well, what are those better options? An NFL nutritionist was asked to share his list of the healthiest alternatives.
Okay, good. I like where you're going.
Reach for. And just a spoiler alert, sugary drinks like soda and Gatorade did not make the cut.
Oh, not even Gatorade. Okay.
Nope.
It has electrolytes.
Okay. Yeah, but it's got a lot of sugar. Okay, so the first one, decaffeinated coffee or tea.
Really?
And with this option, decaf is the important part because caffeine is a diuretic, and that leaves you less hydrated.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's why Gavin's always in the bathroom. He drinks too much coffee and he has a tiny bladder.
It's
a perfect storm.
Coconut water. It's got electrolytes like potassium and magnesium. I'm with you on that. I've tried coconut water. I'm not a fan.
It's worse than regular water.
It's got a film. It's like water with a film to it.
Yeah, I don't know how someone goes, I'm going to take water and I'm going to make it worse. And that's what they did.
They did it. Milk. Milk is 90% water and it has calcium.
We always have milk go bad in our house, like, because we only have it for cereal, and we don't eat cereal that often, or for cooking. I went to make fudge last night. I'm like, oh, I'll make some fudge. This will be fun to bring in. And then I looked at the milk. It was from February 18th.
Ew.
Yep, so I'm like, okay, that's not going to fly.
A couple of other options are cucumber water. That's just taking cucumber slices and shoving them in water. Another one is flavor packs, which I think a lot of us like. I know you do, Wally.
I do.
But you should only choose the ones that use natural flavoring, not the ones you like. Little to no sugar, not the ones you like. And don't contain a lot of calories.
So far, I'm not seeing a good option here. But you said there were going to be some good options. I didn't see one.
Well, that's all they got.
Really? Because I drink the Walmart, like, grape fizzy water.
We should look into that. How much sugar is in that? Because you say that's a good alternative.
It is.
It's not.
It's like maybe 5 calories or something like that. So
you're just looking at the calorie intake. You're not looking at the sugar.
I know, but I'm getting water. I mean, otherwise, other than that, I would literally shrivel up like a raisin. So at least I'm still like alive. And I credit.
At least he's still alive.
I credit Walmart water for all that I am.
Boy, you got a friend in me.
Uplifting. Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and we all have that friend, in quotes. And your goal in life should never to be that friend.
Well, it's on how you say that. It could be that friend.
It's not in this case. It's that friend. And it is, unfortunately, this time it's Betty Rock is that friend.
Oh, come on. It was an accident. Here's what happened. I was recently out to eat with a group of friends, and there were 10 of us. It was a big group, okay?
Yep.
So factor that in. Give me a little bit of leniency.
Little
okay?
grace.
So we're playing trivia, okay, at this pizza parlor place. The night's coming to an end, but I need to leave early because we have to get here early for my job. So I get a to-go box and get my pizza and I'm telling everybody bye and hugging necks, and I walk out the door and get in my car, leave, go home.
Like a princess should.
Get home.
Yeah.
Go to plug my phone in to charge it. And I see a text from my friend that was at this meeting, and she goes, "Did you just dine and dash?"
Yes, you did. You became that friend.
If you don't know what dine and dash means, it means that you ate.
Yeah, you did.
Then you didn't pay for it.
And you don't eat a little. You eat a lot, usually.
I can't believe that I did it, and I felt so bad because my friends were like, "Well, who's going to cover her bill?"
Yeah.
I was that friend.
You left your friends hanging. You're like, "Hey, I'm so important. You just paid for my food. I'm going to leave now."
No, that's not what I meant.
My presence was my present to you.
I honestly don't know where my mind was at. I can't believe that I did it. Now, before you hate on me, I did pay my friend back, okay?
Yeah, a month later.
No, I didn't. All is well, all is even, but I am so sorry. Yeah. I don't want to be that friend.
Okay, so here's what we want to talk about. Maybe you can make Betty feel a little better. The time you were that friend. Now, it doesn't just have to be a dine and dash friend. Everybody's got that friend that, messes up somehow. And you were that friend, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I had a friend that we used to always go out, and he would always conveniently forget his wallet. You know, we'd be at the movies, and he was kind of like you. He's like, "Oh, dude, I don't have my wallet."
Yeah.
"All right, fine, we'll take care of him."
Or I have that friend that her battery on her phone is always
low. Yes.
And so she's that friend.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, a time that you became that friend. You'll make Betty feel better because she was that friend.
Stop.
855-33-WAY-FM. That's how you can always be part of the show. We love having you on. Put that in your favorites, too, so you can get right through sometimes because the phones get a little busy. So 855-33-WAY-FM. Looking for that friend right now. Ryan, have you ever had a moment where you were that friend?
Yeah, let's go back 2020, right before the pandemic, working in a manufacturing facility. Right before COVID hit and they shut our factory down, Buddy and I went to lunch, and I was that friend and forgot my wallet. Fast forward, a week later, they shut us down. Did no work for like 3 months. During that time, my buddy left, went to another facility. He never forgot it. And we joked about it, texting about it and everything. Fast forward another 3 years later, I ended up at the same job with him again. And the first day there, we went out to lunch. I had to pay his lunch.
You strung that out for a while. Yeah, I'll get you next time I see you. Thank you, COVID.
Oh, yeah. Five years. 5 years. And of course, I used the COVID excuse forever, and he wasn't buying it. So.
Ryan, have you learned your lesson, or have you done this since then?
I will neither deny or confirm that I've actually done it to the same dude.
Oh, man.
If I'm your friend, I'm buying you a chain for your wallet, so you'll always have it with you. Hey, Ryan, thanks for being on with us, brother.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
So have you ever become that friend in some area with your friends?
Unfortunately, with my best friend, we were working at Applebee's together, and it was her first day, and they needed a hostess at another Applebee's, and I was like, "Oh, I'll do it." And I felt so bad because I left my friend high and dry on her first day at Applebee's.
And
she had to work with some other people.
Yeah, so you abandoned her. You were that friend, abandoner.
I did. I felt so bad.
You know, the only place that's worse is if that happens in a small group. Like you invite someone to small group and then you're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I had to cancel." Like, wait, what? You know, because there's a lot of sharing that happens there. So it could have been worse.
Right. But she's forgiven me since then. So, yeah.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. Lady Rock, where do you stand on collaborations when bands collaborate with other artists? Do you like
that? I love it.
Yeah.
I think it can be good, but there are some that get together and I'm like, how did that even get together?
Yeah, I totally get that. Well, there's a new song that is a collaboration between two heavyweights from different genres, and it's pretty great. You know, in this corner, we have immigrating from the U.S., from Australia, weighing in at a combined height of 11 feet 9 inches tall, it's Joel and Luke from For King and Country. And in this corner, from the gritty streets of Houston, where his bars and beats come from, you have Christian rap legend Lecrae. So they got together.
They're fighting?
No, but they got together and collaborated. So you're so depressed now. You know, I set this up the total wrong way. Betty was like, blood sport over there. All right. So, no, they have a new song out called I Still Believe, and I like it.
Different, the vibe shifted, our mind's sickin'. I keep trying to keep hope alive, cause time's ticking. We're fine dying, we're fine dining in fine linens. We die empty, cause most of us never
here comes
tried
the twist.
Living. Cage for the broken lives, stay while they slowly die. Praise that went out my mind, pray when I saw the signs. Hypnotized, victimized, empty lies, emphasized, kicked aside. In the time, still we rise. Rose out the grave like a day shift.
I'll tell you, like any song that makes my hands go up in the air like that, like Rocky, and then bite my top lip, and then kind of wiggle a little bit, that's a good song.
It's unfortunate for everyone that's viewing it,
sure.
But it's a good sign for musicians.
Yeah, that's definitely a bop, so...
Now I'm getting the clap! Talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Where'd you land on this, Rock? Did you like that?
I did.
You did.
I didn't hear that much of For King and Country, but what I did hear of Lecrae,
yeah. I did that on purpose because like we play so much For King and Country. Everybody knows what they sound like, and it was
That's
great.
True.
But the Lecrae added, I love when artists add rap into their songs. Mm-hmm. Like if you're really great at this and you bring in somebody else who's really great at what mm-hmm. they do, it's great. It's awesome. Like that would have been a mistake for like Joel or Luke to do the rap, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
And then you always wonder, how do you do that song live? But now, like they used to, I know back in the day, artists would have guests come on and do the rap for them. I did one with Mandisa.
And
crushed
it was
it.
Terrible.
No, crushed it.
Okay.
After, I couldn't hear the first, I didn't have in-ears.
It was bad.
No, I didn't have in-ears. I couldn't hear. So
okay.
When I came out, I had
sure.
to I had to play catch-up, but
sure,
then
sure.
I crushed it.
Okay.
But then like other bands, like Mercy Me had a rap in one of their songs, and they would have different people come out and do the rap when they were on tour, mm-hmm. which I thought was like
yeah,
really smart.
It's a great
but
idea.
Now they've got everything like video walls and all this other stuff in the production, mm-hmm. so they just track like Lecrae's part. They'll shoot a video of him, and then they'll go to the big screen with him when he does it, and it just kills
pretty awesome.
It. So, yeah, if you like that, if you heard that, and you're like, hey, that's pretty cool. That is Lecrae and For King and Country, or For King and Country and Lecrae, however you want to look at it. But the song is I Still Believe.
It's easy to let the fear of the unknown keep us from doing something that is good for us, but going back to school might not be quite what you think.
Yeah, one of my biggest fears going back to school was I'd have to watch a ton of online lectures, and I kind of have a problem staying awake during stuff like that, but it was so different than I had imagined, and way better.
Yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to have to take a bunch of tests, which I am not a fan of, but instead I was able to write papers, which for me was way better.
Plus, you have the flexibility to work in school around your work and life schedule. Another big fear I had is, what if I don't understand something? What do I do?
Yeah, CCU, they foster community with your classmates, and they are a great resource. And Colorado Christian University has very responsive online professors who are there to help you so you are never alone as an online student at CCU.
Learn more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
In a broken world, stories with humor, heart, or hope are a nice change of pace.
There are some things money can't buy.
It's News-ish on The Wally Show.
So there was a professor from Pepperdine University, and he did what few teachers, or actually most people, would be willing to do. He traveled last fall from California to Ukraine to teach a group of students in the midst of their war.
Oh.
He's going there to help them. And I love the course that he was teaching was in conflict resolution and dispute.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, the kids are the next generation there that mm-hmm. are going to have to figure out how to navigate all of this mess that their parents have, you know, had to deal with. And so I like the concept of that, but 5 minutes into the class, sure enough, air raid sirens start, and he said, for the first time in my teaching career, and possibly not the last, I had to teach my class from a bomb shelter.
Wow.
And so, like, that would be sobering. The students, he said the students, like, calmly led the professor down the myriad of stairways and hallways, and sadly, it was just a normal day for them. You know, this is what we do. Come
yeah.
on, prof.
They're used to it.
Yeah, we'll take care of you, you know? Mm-hmm. He said if they were anxious, they did not display it at all. The saddest thing is that this is just part of their life. They all kind of gathered their bags and were like, okay, professor, come with us. You know, so it's normal, you know. So his trip, though, made a huge impact on the students. They said, we were amazed and had an idea and had no idea that there was so many professors or people that would be willing to help Ukraine and teach on-site courses for us. People like him make us feel we're worth something.
Aww.
That's a big thing, man. Like, yeah. People want to be seen and felt valued, and you're in the middle of some horrific war that's still going on. And after the news cameras leave, you feel forgotten.
Right.
You know, and because the situation doesn't get any better. Mm-hmm. And so they felt that they were seen, you know, and he says, this kid says, he gave us something useful to support our education, and I will never forget it for the rest of my days. The class with Mr. Dally, who's the professor, he gave us a practical skill that they can create peace, and hopefully it will last.
And it sounds like, too, that he also was teaching with his actions. You know,
right.
Not only was it through the class that he taught, but through his actions as well, showing them love and care.
Oh, yeah, because they could have Zoomed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely. I mean, we do that all the time. He's since stayed up with them on Zoom. But you're right. The fact that he chose to go
in person,
you know, and that's a big deal. And that is a lesson that landed with these kids and hopefully will carry them further into the future. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. When something is going on online and there's like a debate about it, we like to discuss it sometimes here and see what your take is. And Betty Rock came across this thing involving like a sub place.
Yeah.
Jimmy John's, I think.
So it's called Jimmy John's. And this guy, he made an order on the Jimmy John's app, which a lot of fast food restaurants now have available, which is so convenient. It's wonderful. So he makes his order and it says, okay, your sandwich will be ready at this time. Okay. So he puts his order in. He goes to Jimmy John's to go and pick it up. And when he shows up, he goes to pay for his sandwich with cash. But the guy that's working for Jimmy John's is like, oh, we can't take cash because our computers can't take it right now. Like, we can only take cards. Well, this customer didn't have a card. And he was like,
I'm here with cash.
Yeah, like, I can't pay for it then.
Right.
And so the Jimmy John's employee, his solution was to just throw the sandwich away and the customer doesn't get the sandwich.
Yeah, I don't get that.
While the customer is like, no, I came in able to pay. It's your fault that you can't take my cash.
Right.
So you should just give me the sandwich for free.
I'm on the customer. It seems like there could have been a thing because I saw the video and the kid's like, I'm not getting fired for you. It seems like they both kind of started to bow up and then they drew mm-hmm. lines in the sand mm-hmm. and no one was getting past it. If I'm the customer, say it's a, you know, $8 sub, which is pretty much what it is, and I got a 10, I go, all right, here's my money. Keep the $2, whatever. Let me have my sub, and then you just put it in whenever you can.
Like, yeah.
Solution number one.
Right.
Solution number two, the better solution is the kid goes, I'm going to have to throw this away anyway, and this is customer service. Man, I'm sorry. I wish we could have let you know, but we couldn't. But take the sub. I'll make sure it's right.
Because I'm telling you what, here we are talking about
right.
it, and it doesn't look good for Jimmy John's.
No,
you know,
it doesn't.
Like, it's not good customer service at all, and it could be really bad negative news for them. So if they had just given him the free sandwich and he walked away, no one would have heard about it.
When I used to teach this college class, we focused one of the segments on a book called The Power of Moments by Dan and Chip Heath. It's a really good book, and I don't even like books, okay? But it's all about this kind of thing, like making moments for people happen in your life personally, as a business. You have a moment where you can do something really good, and what did that sandwich cost them that day? Maybe $2.
Right.
Maybe $2.
Right.
No one's going broke over that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a customer that you now have earned their respect and their mm-hmm. loyalty, you know, versus someone that's online bashing you now mm-hmm. and you don't look good. So, like, it's the power of moments. We have the opportunity to create wins if we choose to.
But then again, there could be someone who has worked in customer service, who has been behind the counter and is on the side of the Jimmy John's employee and is like, no, this is exactly what he should have done. I don't know.
All right, so we'll open it up for you right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. Kind of a little five calls it type thing. Where do you land on this? Like, was the employee... Did he do the right thing by, you know, throwing out the sandwich and not taking the cash and not getting in trouble, you know, because he couldn't take cash? Or, you know, was he in the wrong? I'm just curious. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. Where do you fall in this?
I think the employee should have probably given him the sandwich. But what would have made it easier is if the employee would have taken the guy's $10 and put it on his own card and called it good.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's creating a win-win scenario, and that's thinking outside the box. Instead of being mad in the moment and letting that carry you away, cooler heads would have prevailed, and it would have been a good story versus, this is kind of a black eye for Jimmy John's.
Absolutely.
All right, Annie, you're up. What do you say? Who was kind of right or wrong in this scenario, the employee or the customer?
So I think the customer was right. My husband and I are business owners, and the customer is always right. And that's just better for the business, better for the customer. No one's hurt.
I love when businesses empower their employees to actually do good things for customers at random. My daughter worked at a coffee shop, and they were like, hey, you have the freedom to, if there's a situation, definitely make it better. But sometimes, even just at random, give somebody something, you know, and they don't see it coming. And it's just those power of moments and doing something that will help earn people's respect and their loyalty. And I think that this was a moment that was missed where it could have been a good moment. And this kid's probably just afraid of losing his job. And maybe that's a management thing. They need to go, hey, yeah, we want you to be able to do good things for people. And so maybe a little retraining would help. All right, Nate, you're up. What do you say? Five calls calls it.
Unfortunately, I have to go with Jimmy John's. When Jimmy John's tells the customer that they can just take the sandwich, well, unfortunately, we have bad actors in this world, and the people behind him might think, oh, maybe I should just tell them I don't have my card, and maybe I'll get a free sandwich too.
Right, and I do understand that. Rules are because we don't self-regulate very well, so you have to have rules in place. I think, like with any rule, I never see rules as hard and fast, and maybe that's why I've spent a lot of my life in trouble. But I look at them in interpretation, and I try to interpret what's best in that situation. And do I apply the rule? Do I apply part of the rule? Or do I set the rule aside and do something good for somebody, you know? I think companies that can empower their employees to make good decisions and trust them will do better long-term and ultimately. So I appreciate your thoughts on this, Nate. Thanks for helping us out on Five Calls Calls It.
Hey, y'all have a great day.
Uplifting Away FM, this is The Wally Show. It's time for Time Capsule Tuesday, where we turn back the hands of time a little bit, and we go back in time musically, and what we do is we pick a year, then Betty Rock will pick a song that she likes, I'll pick one that I like, and then you have to tell us which song you feel is the best, like which of those songs connects with you and why. And I think we have two good offerings, a little bit different feel to each of them, but both equally good in their own right.
And these are options from 2014, and you want to go with mine first? Or
I'd love to. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to go with Mercy Me's Greater. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. It's got that country feel to it. Like you could do a little boot scooting to it.
Yeah. Mercy Me is an interesting band. Like their albums will have like the radio singles and stuff, and then they'll have a bunch of songs that are just for them kind of thing that they like, and like odd genres and things like that. So if you listen to a full Mercy Me album, you get like a really wide range.
Yeah.
And then songs like this kind of sneak through. This song should have never worked on the radio.
What? No.
I'm so surprised.
Don't badmouth my option.
I'm not. I'm saying, and it did. It was a really good option. Oh, like I love how, I love that this song became very popular actually. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Fastball Down the Middle for someone to hit out of the park. You got to go with For King and Country from 2014. Feeks my eyes. Little drummer boy vibe in the background. And any song that says "Feeks my eyes," I love the accent. Feeks my eyes.
My word. Well, we've picked two staple bands.
Yeah,
we've got Mercy Me and For King and Country. Why are you still playing your song?
I'm not.
You do this every time. You play the hook to your song and you play it longer because you're the one. There we go. That you're the one that wants to win.
There you go. Okay, that's about even amount of time. So now, if you want to call and tell us why you picked the song that you picked, What's the reason that you liked that song? Why did it connect with you? Who has the better taste in music? Sorry for a second.
Turn it off.
Who has the better taste in music? Oh, everything's fair. Who has the better taste in music? Betty Rock or myself? So it's Mercy Me versus For King and Country. And you get to decide right now on Time Capsule Tuesday. 855-33-WAY-FM. We keep track, and one of you is going to make the call here. So 855-33-WAY-FM. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Laura, thank you for helping us out with Time Capsule Tuesday. You've heard the hook of the two songs. We have Fix My Eyes or Feeks My Eyes by For King and Country. That was my choice. And then Greater by Mercy Me, which was Betty Rock's choice. All the way back to 2014, who has the better taste in music, me or Betty?
I'm going to say Betty.
Betty Lou. Okay. Now, so you're going with Mercy Me Greater. Why do you like this song?
Because I have a 14-year-old right now, and he chose that song when it came out as one of his favorite songs. And so every time I hear it, it's my cue to pray for him.
Oh, I love that.
And there was a time that you guys played it probably every day for about a week, and I knew I needed to pray for him, and I told him every day. And on the fourth day, he said, Mom, did my song come on? Because I needed prayer.
Oh, wow. Aww. That's really great. Well, that's one of the best reasons we've ever had for a song. So thank you very much. And the depth of this song is in there, too. Like, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Like, that spiritual depth wrapped around a catchy little vibe, you know, song. So I love it. Well, here we go. All the way back to 2014 for Laura and her son. It is Mercy Me's Greater. Now you got to pray for him again.
Absolutely. I did when you played the little hook.
Oh, okay. Well, now you got to get a couple more hooks. So here we go. Cover him in prayer today.
You must need me.
Hey, Laura, thanks for being on with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt.
Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Wally.
We've all heard that saying, living the dream. I think living the dream when it comes to work, you know, here would be being allowed to work 7 days a week. But some slackers are pushing for companies to go to four-day work weeks.
Yes!
No, Rod.
What's wrong with that?
Because we work five. We put in the time. We got to outwork the rest of the world. Yeah, that's it. That's how we know.
Okay.
They actually did a test in the UK with 61 companies that committed to a four-day work week for an entire year.
Yeah.
And the results might make you happy if you would love three-day weekends every week.
Yeah.
Because really, that's what a four-day work week is. It's three-day weekends. And
You know, I used to have this at an old job of mine.
Did you really?
To work 10 hours a day for 4 days of the week.
And let's be honest, how many of those 10 hours did you work?
I was at a daycare center, so trust me, sir.
You worked
those 10 hours, it was rough.
That's fair. Yeah, it's not nearly what you're putting in here.
Exactly. And so that three-day weekend, man, that was wonderful.
Yeah, well, after they did this study, 89%, so 90% basically, of these companies decided to keep the structure in place because they said more efficient, they had happier employees, and a lower turnover rate were some of the positive results.
See?
I agree with this. I think it would be great. We've just been, like, in our business, we all have a five-day work week, and so we're here with you throughout the work week. We work every day because you work every day, you know? And that's kind of the mentality of this. I would not be opposed to going, hey, we're doing four-day work weeks. Let's work 4 days with everybody. And because three-day weekends are always the best.
Well, and two, you think about it. Like, Saturdays are meant for all the things you couldn't do during the week. And then Sunday is for church. And now you're back at Monday.
I know. And, like, having that extra day is always a godsend, man. They said they also found improvements in physical and mental health and work-life balance. And it helped with burnout. And so they were like, this is really positive. And surprisingly, over half of us expect four-day work weeks by the year 2030.
How old will I be by then?
That's what, 2030?
I'll still be working. So maybe I'll live.
Oh, 20, 30, that's only 6 years. I'm sitting here trying to do hard math. It's only 6 years. No, that's not going to happen. Yeah, 6 years, you'll still be working.
Yeah.
And you know what? You'll still be putting in 4 days a week just like you do now. So. Uplifting, Way FM. This is The Wally Show, and I was not a big fan of Netflix till they started documentaries, and I got into a bunch of theirs. There's this one called Drive to Survive, and it's all about F1 racing. And
I was just as boring as it sounds.
No, it's not. It's so good. It's all the personal drama. And so, like, I wasn't, like, super into F1 racing before this, and so then this got me into it. And surprisingly, though, my wife loves the series. She watched it every time with me, and I was not allowed to watch it without her. She liked it that much.
Wow.
So that should say something, because she's not a sports person or a car person. So flash forward to today. We just finished up season 6. We binged it, watched it in a couple days. And we were out to lunch, and we saw this lady with a Red Bull kit on. Okay, it's kind of a European thing. They say, oh, what's your kit, like your uniform.
Oh.
And so each in F1, there are like 20 or 10 teams, and they have two drivers each. We like Red Bull. Like, we're fans of Red Bull. Max Verstappen, he's like the greatest, and he's winning everything. But he has a partner, Sergio Perez. And so this lady had a number 11 hat on, a Red Bull hat. And Marty was like, who is that again? Like, I can't remember his name. So I'm like, I want to make sure. I'm like, that's Checo. And so she goes, okay. And so I had planned, we were finishing up, I was going to go by and just tell the lady on my way out, hey, I like your Red Bull kit. You know, just like a nice thing. You see fans of things.
Yeah, quick and to the point now.
So I go to throw my stuff away, and I look over at my introverted wife, who doesn't talk to anybody, like standing at this lady's table, talking to her about Checo and Red Bull racing. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so they're talking. It turns out the lady is watching the first race from Bahrain on her phone.
Wow.
And so I walk over. We talk to this lady for 10 minutes. Super nice lady. But the fact that my wife, I'm the extrovert. You know I talk to people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even people that don't want to talk
exactly.
to you. Yes.
But my wife is not wired that way. So this was completely out of character for her. But I thought it was really cool because she found something to like bond over or whatever. And I think when you like something that not a lot of people like, you form maybe even more quick bond with people.
It's like
your
group.
Yeah.
You feel seen. You feel heard.
Yes.
I feel understood.
I get sports now. It was so great. Yay, sports. But anyway, so I just thought it was out of character for her, but I thought it was really cool. And so that's what I want to talk about. What was a time that your spouse did something that was out of character for them, but you thought it was really cool? Like maybe they didn't take the time to normally help people, but they helped some homeless person, or they showed up with flowers when that's not their thing, or whatever it is. I'm just curious, what was something that was out of character for your spouse, but something that was really cool? 855-33-WAY-FM. It's easy to complain about our spouses. I mean, and sometimes we do it fun, you know, but other times it's based in truth. So I like when we can talk about things that are actually really cool about our spouses. So 855-33-WAY-FM. So what's yours?
It's kind of along the same lines. My husband and I started watching that Netflix documentary, and we watch F1 every weekend. And he started doing the same thing, talking to people about it. And he's more introverted, I'm not. And he was doing the same kind of thing. And I thought, this is crazy how it's brought us together and then strangers of other people together. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Like, my wife and I watch it, so it's a bonding thing. And I think, again, when it's something that's not widely, you know, viewed or watched or liked by people, I think that bonds you even faster to people. Because I see people with Red Bull gear on, and I've got, like, a Red Bull F1 racing jacket that I love. And if I see somebody else wearing it, like, I'll go talk to them.
Yes, exactly. There's people at my work, the guys, they all watch it, like, live, and I'll get to talking to them about it. So it's like becoming like a little community. It's so neat.
I got you down. That's a great one. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
So what's that for you, Eliana?
So, to be honest, my husband has just an amazing character. He is such an extrovert, and he reaches out to anybody and everybody. Nobody's ever a stranger. But he did get a nudge to go pray for somebody. And, you know, we've been challenging each other to be a first-time obedient listener to what God has for us. And so he went in to go pay a speeding ticket, of all things. And as he's walking out, he felt led to go pray for one of the officers that was there. And he said he went to the car and debated, said, no, I'm not doing it. And decided to go back in and pray for him. And he said he stumbled on his words and he was safe. But of all the things, he went ahead and went through with it. So
I'm sure that was cool for you. And you're like, man, I respect that. I hope you told him that, too, that, like, you really, you know, appreciated that about him.
I really do. It was truly amazing. I'm just thankful that he went through with what the Lord had for him that day.
So what is something that your husband did?
My husband recently, just within this last year, started going to church with me. And he noticed that I really liked The Chosen. I watch it at home all the time. And I told him that I had to see it in theaters when it came out. So for Valentine's Day, he actually took me to see The Chosen. And prior to this, he really avoided a lot of spiritual conversations. Anytime I would try to talk about it, he would shut me down and stuff. Mm. But since we started watching The Chosen together in theaters, we have open conversations about it. And it's just really amazing.
That's awesome. I love that. And I hope that that continues for you guys. Don't give up on him. I'm living proof of that myself. My wife was there long before me, and it was her gentle guidance and prayers that got me there, too. So don't give up. He's definitely headed in the right direction.
Right. And he keeps wanting to go back and see the next episodes with me. He does it by choice now instead of feeling like he's obligated to do it. So I'm just amazed with the changes that God is making within him.
There you go. That's awesome, man. I appreciate you being on the show with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Trudy, you're up. What is that thing that was out of character for your spouse, but you thought it was cool?
My husband is not a dancer. I love to dance, but he is not a dancer. And out of the blue, he decides to take a couple dance lessons, which I thought was kind of weird. You know, it's so out of character for him, and he's an introvert. But he surprised me with a trip to the Grand Hotel, Mackinac Island, for our 20th anniversary. And in front of everybody, with the band playing at dinner, got up, held out his hand, and said, I brought you here to dance.
Oh, so good. I just got goosebumps. That's so good.
I have tears rolling down my cheeks after.
That's love. Because, man, if you don't like to dance and you go dance with somebody, that's love. I don't like to dance either. And so I got my wife ballroom dancing lessons for like her 40th birthday. And we went and did it. And then it turned out that I was better at it than she was, and we never went back. Oh, that, and I unbuttoned my shirt like they do on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
Yeah.
They were kicked out, actually. Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Rock Report with Bayrock.
Wally.
Yes.
Have you ever tracked down your family lineage? Do you know if you're...
Oh, my related? Mom started doing this. Like, I know that we're Scottish.
They can never take a freedom!
Pretty much in that same line. And we were adopted into that. And then my mom was going back through it, and she found a horse thief in our lineage and then stopped. She was like, I'm done with this. Just, we're not doing this anymore.
She didn't want to be related to a horse.
No, I guess not. She's like, this isn't great. We've never talked about Hal, and we're not going to ever talk about Hal again.
Oh, gosh. Well, Ancestry.com, the well-known genealogy company, did a bit of research on Taylor Swift's ancestry, and they found out something that's super interesting. Okay. So Swift is related to one of the most important figures in American poetry. Of course she is.
Oh, checks out now.
Emily Dickinson.
No way.
Mm-hmm. So it turns out that they're sixth cousins three times removed.
And they're both equally dramatic, it feels like.
Well, you may not know who Emily Dickinson is. When I think of Emily Dickinson, I think of the Dickinson guy on the SNL bit with more cowbell. He's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm
what's Gene.
Gene is the guy that plays the bell, but he's like, I'm so-and-so Dickinson, and I've got a fever.
For the fever of the Something. Yeah.
Well, anyways.
We did that badly.
Okay, so once you do some research on Emily Dickinson and her works, you see some of her and Taylor Swift's similarities. Take, for instance, the main topics that Dickinson wrote about in her poems. She wrote about feminism, flowers and gardens.
Oh, my goodness.
And society expectations.
You're like, anytime I listen to Taylor Swift, I feel like I'm hearing Emily Dickinson. I mean, yeah. Shake it off, shake it off. That's how I think it would have sounded if she'd done it.
Can you imagine, like, written on old paper? I'm going to shake it off, shake it off.
Yeah.
Well, with this new information in hand, it's no coincidence that Taylor's next album, set to release next month, is called The Tortured Poets Department.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so dramatic.
Okay, now wait, is this a coincidence? Did she, I missed this part. Did she look up her heritage
or
did somebody else did?
But she knows this truth.
Oh, she does. Okay, I didn't know she
knows. She's related to Emily Dickinson. And Taylor has stated that, quote, "If my lyrics sound like a letter written by Emily Dickinson's great-grandmother while sewing a lace curtain, that's me writing in my quill genre."
Okay, let me see if that checks out. Yeah, I get none of that from your music.
But also, how dramatic is it to say I'm in my quill genre?
I wish I could get away with stuff like that, honestly.
That's insane.
I wish I could just make up crazy stuff and then say it and people have to go, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, she's in her quill genre. Oh, you don't understand.
I'd love to be in my quill genre, too. Who wouldn't be?
Wow.
Although quill genre is not that great. You died of typhoid like at 15.
Right, so. Exactly. Not so great.
All right, that's going to do it for your Rock Report. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. And I came across this story the other day that there was a CEO of Kellogg's who is now kind of getting some pushback. Because he said, oh, cereal is a great dinner, and it's like a dollar a bowl or something like that. And then people had a problem with that. I have no problem with that. I think cereal is a great dinner. And like,
I do, too.
On nights when my wife is like, on Sunday nights, she claims to go on strike. Because she usually handles dinner, unless it's grilling, then I do it. But she's like, Sunday nights, I'm on strike. So you can do whatever you want to do. And a lot of nights, after I look at her pitifully and she doesn't bend and make me something, I go, oh, I'll just have cereal. And I'm always happy. Like, I love cereal for dinner.
Yeah, it's great. And it's super cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a dollar, you know, and I get it. You could get other things, they were saying, for, you know, better things for under a dollar, like a couple eggs, toast, a banana. Who wants that? Like, okay, great. So, but cereal is better than all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand what the problem is, you know, and if you're trying to do it on the cheap, I know it's not healthy, you know, and because your kids don't want to eat Raisin Bran. My mom would give us, not Cinnamon Toast Crunch, that would have been a treat, grape nuts. Oh,
ew.
Why grape nuts? That is the worst cereal next to, shredded wheat without the frosted.
That's so sad.
I know, right?
Your poor childhood.
How woman stayed out of jail, I don't know.
You have a testimony.
I do. Thank you. As soon as I was 16 and was working, I started buying my own Captain Crunch and putting it in the pantry with big signs like not to have my other siblings eat it.
Oh, my word.
Oh, it was crazy. But here's what I want to talk about, okay? So the guy from Kellogg's is saying you can feed, you know, somebody for a dollar. So, great. But what are your cheapest meals that you make, okay? Like, we can do a little recipe thing here, you know. Like, my wife, the other day, she saw something on Pinterest and made these pizza things in a muffin pan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically the dough that you get, the Pillsbury dough, and some sauce and pepperoni and garlic. I mean, that was it. And it was good. Like, it was good. But, I mean, it's so simple. Threw it in a muffin pan, bake it for a little bit, done. And I know that didn't cost us hardly anything.
Cheap and easy is the way to do it. Now, it's usually not healthy, but it is cheap and easy.
That's right. So what is the cheapest meal that you make for your family? You might help somebody save a few bucks today for sure and find a new staple. So 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours right now. So what is a way, Brian, that you are feeding your family on the cheap?
Actually, it's my wife that does it, and we joke with her, and we call it my wife's specialty. It's ramen noodles and hot dogs.
Oh, man. That sounds like college all over again. Wow. Is it any good?
Oh, yeah. It's good. I mean, it's just basic ramen noodles, and then we have hot dogs. So that's what it is. And I said, oh, we're having my wife's specialty tonight.
There you go. We do a thing called meatballs and noodles. My wife gets these chicken teriyaki meatballs at Costco, and we just do egg noodles with them and throw a little extra teriyaki sauce. It's a pretty cheap meal, and you can get a bunch of meals out of it. And I even have a theme song for it. I go, meatballs and noodles, meatballs and noodles, meatballs and noodles, meaty, meaty, meaty meatballs. And so it's always a good time. Ooh. There's a floor show.
Oh, Lord, Wally. Crazy, crazy man.
Well, thank you, Brian, for being on the show with us, man.
Appreciate it, buddy.
What is a meal that you make that's super cheap?
We make homemade burritos, so usually we just have the black beans, canned tortillas and cheese, maybe on occasion rice.
Okay. Yeah, like if you're feeling saucy or you got a bonus check this week, you do the rice.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so making burritos at home doesn't cost you much at all. And it's sad because if you go to Moe's, a Moe's burrito now, the Joey bag of donuts or whatever they're calling it now, that's like $9 or $10 or more for a burrito that doesn't cost a dollar to make. It's just a crime. So making them yourself is definitely the way to go.
Absolutely.
Well, I got you down, Lindsay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Chelsea, you're up. What is that cheap meal that you make that feeds your family?
I make egg roll in a bowl.
Okay, what is that? Do you get like frozen egg rolls and then put them in a bowl?
No. So we get 2 bags of coleslaw mix, and we get a thing of hamburger meat, and the little wrappers you wrap your egg rolls in if you're making them homemade. And we can fry those up, and then you put everything like the cabbage, the coleslaw mix, and the hamburger meat into a pan. You let it simmer down, and it costs about $7. It's a great meal, and it's actually pretty healthy.
Okay, so you're basically doing like a deconstructed meal in a bowl, kind of like how they do burrito bowls at, you know, Moe's or wherever. I like that. That's not a bad idea. And especially if you can do it for $7 and feed your entire family, that is a win.
Yeah, well, I live with 6, and it feeds everyone more than enough.
I'm curious if your kids grow up and they have less kids and they're not struggling, you know, to put food on the table, you know, if they'll keep this as a staple, you know, or like if, like in my house, because we had a lot of casseroles and my wife didn't grow up that way. And so she doesn't understand all the like really super cheap meals that my mom used to make, you know, us 5 kids. And I still love them to this day. So when my wife goes out of town, I make all the stuff from my mom's recipes.
If my kids are grown one day and they don't want to make it, be like, I'll make it for you.
There you go. And it always tastes better when mom sweeps into town and makes the casserole.
Yes, it does.
Oh, electronic mail.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. You can always email me with whatever is on your mind. And I love when people email stuff about the show or even updates. Remember when we were talking about the guy who said he paid $93 for Chick-fil-A at Busch Gardens?
Yes.
For just his like family of 4?
Yes.
And we were all dumbfounded?
Yes.
And it's so great because he hit me back up and he actually sent me the receipt. To prove that he's like, yeah, I couldn't believe it either. He's like, look, check this out. Here is the receipt. It's absolute lunacy. And he's right.
And it is bad.
Yeah. I did figure it out because, like, when you go to a theme park and you pay theme park prices for food, you just expect it and you don't feel as bad. But when you pay for something that you can get down the street, then you feel bad that you're overpaying for it. When they do those partnerships and they have them in a theme park, great, I'm getting food I know I like, but I'm paying more for it than if I just wait 2 hours and go get it when I'm done. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that is bothersome. This was a good one here. This is from Katie. It says, hey, I was listening to the latest Aftercast, and I heard your conversation about the moon. A couple things here. Our Aftercast is our podcast that we do every day after the show. It's new content, and you can get it for free.
When you text TWS, that stands for The Wally Show, so TWS to 91979.
And we got off on this subject of like how we sent a lunar lander to the moon, and it had problems, and kind of one of them crashed and stuff like that. And I'm like, how did we get to the moon the first time with slide rules and, you know, like computers that weren't even as powerful as our Apple Watches. Mm-hmm. Somehow we got there. We were so resilient back then. And then now we can't figure it out. And I'm like, I'm starting to side with the conspiracy theorists. Like, we never went to the moon. Like, there's part of me that's like, I don't know. Did we? You know, I was doubting it. And so Katie says, so I listened to your conversation and I had thought we had just been to the moon once, but I recently found out that there were 6 more trips to the moon, 5 of which were successful. Just thought you might like to know that too. And she's right about that.
She is.
Because, oh yeah, because if you have that many other trips to the moon that happened, you wouldn't do that if you had a conspiracy, because that's too many people that now know that you have to keep quiet. Mm. Conspiracies are only successful when you have very few people involved, because there's less leaks. Mm-hmm. If you did this with 5 other sets of astronauts and you're all like, okay, everyone be quiet, we're not going to the moon, we're just telling people we're going to the moon. I mean, back then people could keep their mouths shut, unlike today. But like, it definitely hurts the validity of the conspiracy theory with more people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna lie, I was a little sad because I kind of like the conspiracy theory. So
yeah, I think I'm still gonna stand on that.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. Good for you. I appreciate your resolve. If you ever want to email me, just wally@wayfm.com. If it's something about the show, if you want to correct us about something, or you know, share something about something you've heard, we love having you do that. And this is our email segment that we do.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.